The following episode of Fathermore Podcast is featuring Joshua Haskins. Now, Josh and I have known each other for a really long time. Josh is head of the sales team at Ascent Protein, which is really good stuff if you're interested in that sort of thing. That's something that we have in stock here at the house pretty regularly, but neither here nor there. Josh has two kids, an 8-year-old daughter, 5-year-old son, and he is a really interesting, introspective, honest guy when it comes to his feelings about his parenting, his being a dad, his growing up as a dad, because he had his kids relatively young. He was 24 when he had his daughter. And so it was a really interesting conversation because I hadn't really ever spoken to him about being a dad before. And that was something that I really enjoyed, getting to know him a little bit better, even though we've known each other for so long, getting to know him a little bit better as a father through this conversation. And there was a lot of really good nuggets in there. I greatly enjoyed it, and I think you guys will as well. Enjoy. Take care.
So I saw this thing a couple of years ago that was just like an article out of the blue that was like, we asked Dwayne The Rock Johnson if he's gonna run for president, and I was like, did you, or did his PR team like reach out and say, ask him if he wants to run for president? And now that show, Young Rock, you know what the premise of that show is? It's like telling his, it's like a sitcom about his childhood.
Yeah, his story. Yeah.
The framing mechanism, like the premise for the show, is that he's running for president and he's on the campaign trail. And each episode, he's telling a story from his childhood or something. That's the framing of the show.
Yeah. Wow. I honestly didn't know that. I consider myself a bit of a Rock fan. I mean, I just like, we're here talking, we haven't caught up in a minute. I mean, text here and there, but we're talking about The Rock first thing. We're talking about his rap skills, his inability to fail at anything. Sure. So, hey, at this point, I mean, I don't even know what our expectation for a president is anymore. I think it's become super convoluted. So
yeah.
Hell of The Rock, he might, who knows, might get my vote.
It would be like, have you seen Idiocracy?
Yeah.
Like it would be a perfect representation of like the Terry Crews president, where he's like, electrolytes, they're good for you.
Totally.
What the body needs.
Yes. This episode is sponsored by Ascent Protein. Sorry, yeah. I had to throw that in.
That's right. The official sponsor of Hard Work. And that's exactly what being a dad is. Boom. That's called perfect transitions right there. Perfect segues. So dude, you're a dad and I'm a dad, and there's a lot of other dads, and there have been many, many, many dads before us, and there will be many dads after us. But is it just me, or is there something about being a dad to your own children that makes you feel like you're either the first person to ever do it, the best person to ever do it, the worst person to ever do it, and also anything else that's like a superlative? Like you just, it's like an island of superlatives when you're a dad.
Absolutely. I think that there's something really powerful when the most universal thing in the world is wildly special. Like you think about anything else, you know, everyone's got their different kind of route here, but for the most part, we all have dads, right? Everyone has a dad at some point, qualifying some, you know, random expectations, but it's wild that that's still so uniquely special in a place where everyone gets to, in some form, experience that, right? And so I think, simply put, it makes me a better human, right? Like all those superlatives, I feel like there was this, like the Grinch's heart grew 3 times its size. I feel like that was me after I had kids. Like it was just like this kind of like tunnel, and I'm like, whoa, there's this whole world and this complete flood of perception, feeling, everything just changed. And so I'm all for it. I'm happy it happened as early as it did for me, because I was a good person, but I think I'm becoming a better human because of the depth and breadth of the life and the experience that my kids actually kind of forced me to have, right?
Yeah.
It's you're a dad, right? Like, you don't wake up one day and say, like, hey, I'm calling in sick or anything like that. Of course, you've got your partner to lean on if, like, you need a day or something like that. But for the most part, you're a dad every single day. So you kind of get to filter the world through that lens every single day that you're a dad. And I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah. Yeah. How young were you? Like, how old were you when you had your first?
Yeah. So, yeah, Luce. So my wife's name is Lucy. I'll probably call her Luce throughout this episode. But so Vera just turned 8. And so we were 24 when we had Vera. What wasn't planned, but beautiful that it happened. We always wanted to have kids, maybe not that early on. We were only married for 2 years when we found out that we were going to be having Vera. But such a blessing, as everyone says when they have kids. But truly, I'm super excited that we got to have that experience, because the joke now is, for all these old parents who we're actually friends with right now, is like, hey, when Vera and my son Everett is about to turn 5, like, when they're out, like, we're still young. And so I have to ride that, like, that version of the narrative.
Yeah,
because it's mine. You know what I mean? Like, and so everyone who waited to be better people, like, I also see massive value in what they did as well. Like, hey, I'm going to wait till I'm, like, in my mid-30s. And I'm like, yeah, I totally get it. Like, I didn't have enough emotional capability and honestly, like, any firepower when Vera came along. Like, it was just I was completely naive. I had no idea what I was doing. And so to that point, like, don't wait. I'm a big fan of don't wait. You like, no, like, who cares? Like, just go for it.
Yeah. I had a good friend of mine. He and his girlfriend are, you know, talking about what their next step is going to be, getting married or you know, having a family, you know, whatever order that ends up looking like. And I essentially told him the same thing. Like, you know, my wife and I tried for a couple of years before we finally got a successful pregnancy, and now we have our son, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. I told him, you know, the only thing I wish, knowing what I know now, is that we had just started trying sooner. Like, you know, it's not like I would have been any more or less ready. It just would have been a different sort of not ready. there's no degrees of, like, readiness when it comes to having a kid.
Totally. Like, if it's a manual, like, you're only getting the advantage of, like, maybe a chapter. Like, you're not by any means, like, conquering half the book before your kid comes along by kind of waiting. But I think the most important thing I say is, like, when you've got the right person, that's when you're ready.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think if I do look back, there is a little bit of, hey, like, my wife and I were newlyweds and we didn't get quite as much time in that newlywed phase before we kind of got this other thing to happen to our family. And by no means do we regret it, but there's a power in that piece as well. And I would say, like, make sure you got a stable house, make sure you got, you know, a stable crew that you can kind of, like, do this thing called raising children. And I'm a huge fan of the way it ended up happening. And I like being a young parent. I'm definitely, my perceived age versus my actual age is definitely, like, two very different things.
Yeah.
Like, all the people we're friends with, and if they listen to this episode, hey, I'm way younger than you and way fitter than you. But no, I mean, all of our friends just happen to be older, and it's a fun joke, because they're like, oh, like, my birthday's actually next week. And I'm like, hey, come on out for my birthday. And they're like, how old are you turning? And I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. We're the babies. Like, just let's just keep rolling here.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, I've known you for a while, like, you know, we've been rolling through the same circles for a long time. And I wonder, in your estimation, what has been the biggest, like, level up for you after becoming a parent?
Level up in what way?
Like, just, you know, you said, I feel like I'm just a better human after having a kid. And over the past, like, you know, there's obviously a lot of changes that happen to you as a person, as, like, an operator in your relationship, with your wife, your, you know, role in your family, your work. Yeah. That, you know, like, what do you think has been the biggest thing that leveled up for you?
Well, I think there's that immediate level up of, like, a very primal, like, I have to be a provider in some very overt way, right? And so, you know, when we found out we were having Vera, it kind of just clicked into, not that we weren't being serious, but, like, I wasn't aggressively trying to climb any type of professional ladder. Like, I was still working, I was still doing these things, but there was no urgency, right? There was no like stakes, right? Lucy and I were totally just enjoying being young and kind of figuring life out, right? But I think there's like a level up that just happens right out of the gate. Hey, there's another human you're responsible for. And I honestly think too, like it was a couple of years before like the responsibility and like the externality of this is your kid clicked in. And that might, you know, I've heard stories of people who day one, they're like, my whole world changed. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I had this like incredible emotional response, like, wow, that's my daughter. Like my wife and I have a daughter. But I think I was still very much like, if I can delineate this to like, there's kind of like your time with yourself and your time with your collective family. I feel like that spectrum, like you're so aggressively in your self boat because that's how you've been your entire life up until like, hey, you find a partner and then you have like, and so I think it's taken me a long time to kind of move from this side of the spectrum in and understanding like what's healthy on this side. So what I mean by that is like, when you go enjoy something or you go seek joy, is that something by yourself or is that something with your group? Mm-hmm. And so I think over time, I've really started to recalibrate, not because I didn't enjoy this self stuff versus kind of like family stuff, but it was just like, no, we experience all of life together, not like these massive curated moments. Like, it's not like we just show up to do this or we do like the core blocking and tackling of all these things. And so I was young. It took me a minute to kind of click into, hey, wow, like there's other people here and they don't just need me to take care of these things. There's like stuff we have to evolve dynamically as a family for. And so that clicked. And yeah, some quick background just for people listening who maybe don't know me, which is probably a lot of people. Armin and I met through the CrossFit space. I used to work for Killcliff. I was one of the early brand guys over there building the sales team. And then I now work at Ascent, leading our sales team over here at Ascent Protein. But we've been in the same space for a long time. And I think, like halfway through my tenure at Killcliff, it was kind of like a big stair step where I was like, hey, things are changing and like the steps I'm taking are dramatically changing the course of my future career too. Like I started having all these different thoughts and really what this sounds like to anyone is like he was growing up and that's totally what was happening.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's, I think it's one of those things, like I explained it to, cause for me, these podcasts are really nice to be able to talk through a lot of the changes and feelings and growth that happens over the course of becoming a dad, over the course of just growing up as a dude. And what you're describing is like this transition of you've spent your entire adult life. And I'm counting adult life because childhood doesn't really count in this. Like, you know, it's like after you have some autonomy in your life and some agency in your decision-making is when it really starts counting, like the rubber meets the road. It's like you spent your adult life being alone. And I think that's really common. Not very often do you get people who discover who they are as a person within a relationship before discovering who they are as a person outside of that relationship. And you know, if you've done the whole thing where you kind of learn about yourself as a solo flyer, and then you get into a relationship, that relationship gets more and more serious. You maybe get married and then you discover who you are within that relationship. And there's a little bit of a shift in perspective, a little bit of a shift in who you are. And then the birth of a child is like a storm that like ship just kind of like goes into, right? It's not the gentle waves that kind of changes your personality, not personality, but your characteristics and your outlook and your way of prioritizing your time and your efforts. It's this gigantic storm that you get thrown into that you have to really find yourself in again. And, you know, the idea of growing up individually, growing up inside of your maturing inside your relationship, growing up into being a dad, as well as navigating professional life and navigating everything else that comes along with that. I mean, that's really the crux of where I think sharing these experiences could be valuable, because that's where people can see, you know, the rough edges, the false starts, the successes and failures.
Well, and I think too, it's so interesting. We started this call off by you saying how awesome is being a dad, right? How special is it? And it's so funny how the common things that almost every person in America deals with are stuff that we never really get any type of formal conversation, training, or any type of dedicated resource unless we have to awkwardly stand up and raise our hand and be like, so being a husband's unique, being a father's unique, like those aren't things that we honestly commonly talk about. Now, granted, everyone on the spectrum is going to have a different opinion on how you go be a husband, how you go be a father. But I'm like, it's become abundantly clear to me that I'm happy you're doing this is the scenic route we're taking. But I'm happy you're doing this because it gives catalyst for people to have the thoughts for themselves. Not to say that I have some kind of beautiful wisdom that the listener will pick up on, but you think about any other topic like business, you have so much resource and conversation and dialogue, and it gets down to these specific niches of business. And, you know, I benefit so much from those, but I'm like, man, you have to go actively really seek out some of these resources to have honest, open conversations as a dad, because there's a little bit too of like, at the end of the day, something that's so special is also a point of pride. Like, that's my identity. So can I quickly go to someone else and concede like, hey, I could be doing a lot better, but there's so much of my identity here. And it's just, it's really interesting. And I've talked to my wife about this a lot, is how little we frame up from our mission and like a little bit of like the mission statement around your life. Like, I can tell you a sense mission statement, where we're going to be next year at this point in time, what our growth rates are. And I told my wife, I was like, hey, I think I owe it to our family to start crafting what a mission statement should be. We've loosely talked about kind of what those things would look like, but what's my MO as just a human? And like, how do I most intentionally seek joy for my family and my kids? And what does that route kind of look like? Because I think busyness is such a culprit of kind of like this river that takes you, and you can kind of move side to side if you want, but at the end of the day, like you're in the current, right? And I think busyness can so quickly take you from kind of those core principles. And we sometimes we take that for granted, right? With our loved ones, and like how quickly we can kind of discern like these, hey, this is a moment, like we should take a moment in this, not just kind of like click next.
Yeah, the real sort of pain of that is that it's incredibly difficult, if not possible, if not impossible, to actually be able to tell in the moment that it's a moment, quote unquote, right? It's like it only really works in hindsight, and maybe, you know, the delta in time of when you experience it to when you realize it shrinks.
But you can collapse that, then yeah, you're magic.
Yeah, if you can collapse that, like you are, I don't know what that would make you. Would that make you like a Zen master? Like, I, you know, like, so just living in the present moment so well, like, I don't even know if that's possible. I think it's one of those things where you kind of see, so I was talking to Nick Fowler, who's also in the CrossFit space. He's, he does a strength conditioning for brute strength, and he had something to say about this where he kind of was talking about it from a perspective of, you know, at a certain point you've experienced so many things, you've seen all the time that you've had, and looking forward you realize that the time that you have upcoming is really precious because you've seen and experienced so much. Like, at the heart of it is this almost like longing for, you know, the ability to re-experience those things, not to change it, but just to like absorb it more.
And I think the double click there is there's a deep vulnerability in saying, I actually didn't do that right. I actually wasn't as great of a father as I could have been. But you have to create this realistic version of what your expectation is, because you have to hit so many buckets as a father, right? You have to hit the, like, hey, here's a nice house, right? And I'm speaking in general terms, right? Everyone's got different roles these days, so I don't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers, but you know, there's all these buckets ruffle, you yeah. have to there's so many buckets you have to hit as a father. And so at some point, by making a decision to actively spend time, there's something you're dropping the ball at over here. And I think there's always the hindsight benefit, but I think it's finding the way, like the hack or the zen there is like, how do you find moments to celebrate joy when it's happening, right? Because we, again, like I feel myself and something that I try to actively talk about. And again, like my wife could be the fact checker on this episode and be like, I would love to marry that guy because he sounds like he's got it dialed. Like the of course expectation is like, this is the version of who we want to be, but you have to create a version that's actually realistic based on your life. If you're comparing it to some index of a version of a father that you think you can be, you're going to fail. And I think it gives you the ability to feel a little bit better about making changes instead of this insurmountable version of yourself that you're like, hey, there is a, I didn't like the father I was when she was five, you know, and I really messed up. And I can let myself feel guilty about those, but then let myself off the hook because I'm like, well, it was really hard for me to be that person. But I think it's, to your point, collapsing that, but also giving a realistic version and also like prioritizing the right things.
Yeah.
Right? You can chase so many moments of like, hey, this is me showing love for my kids. The reality is your kids are the best barometer to say like what they enjoy the most. If I ask them like, hey, what do you love about daddy? They're not going to say anything about the stuff that I might overvalue. Like, well, you don't think the yard's super cool? Like dad spends a lot of time in the yard doing this. Like you don't think that tree that daddy planted is a statement piece? Like, you know what I mean? So I think like, don't lose these moments with your kid being busy curating the perfect father figure. You know what I mean? Like you have to kind of marinate in some of these moments and they're not glamorous.
Yeah.
Like my son Everett will literally sit down and just want to play cars. Like he'll want to roll a car back and forth until I say, yeah, hey bud, super fun. Like I love doing this. I love sharing this with you, but let's transition to something else. So it's, you know, it's those little moments that I think you have to recognize while it's happening to the best of your ability, because it's so hard, man. And our brains are always processing through, you know, the operation of the home, the, hey, what does my wife need? What do I need? What do these kids need? Have they eaten yet? Hey, you guys haven't bathed yet. Sorry to shut down the fun. Like there's all these things that are constantly kind of happening. And so we try our best, which is always an improvement, but to find those moments when they're actually happening, I'm like, oh, like this thing that we've been working really hard for that was supposed to be like at this park with these people on this day with perfect weather, that same level of joy is happening right now, just sitting in our room.
Yeah.
And like, I have a hard time finding the piece to be like, oh, this is it. Like, I don't have to work anymore. I can actually just enjoy it. Because sometimes I so often find myself working to create those moments or like, hey, how do I kind of move everybody around to get them in this spot? And so it's tough, man. It's totally tough.
Yeah. There's a lot of magic to kind of what you mentioned there earlier about, you know, if you asked your daughter or your son what they like most about daddy, you know, it's going to be vastly different than the things that you prioritize as their dad. And I think that contrast between what our ego tells us we should be and could be and would be and want to be for somebody else versus what they actually want us to be or what they need us to be is, it's really difficult to bridge that gap, to let that go, because, you know, I'm sure anyone who's been in a relationship, whether it's personal, professional, you know, parental, whatever, has experienced the exact thing that I'm describing, which is you see an issue or a point at which you think you can leverage a little bit of what you've got to make something better. And you apply yourself in like a way that you think is going to be effective and good. And it actually ends up making things either worse or not better at all. And then you realize that you applied yourself in a way that makes you feel good about your application, not in a way that actually helps the situation for the person involved. And so, you know, you look at you know, the relationship between like a father and a daughter. And it's like, yeah, maybe for you, it's like, oh, I look at the, look at this yard, or like, you know, your daughter's never going to be like, yeah, you know, dad's really good at meeting his KPIs at work. It's like, he's, she's, his Excel sheets are just so tight. They work so well together. He doesn't even have to use a mouse. Like it's like, you know, she's going to be like, yeah, daddy likes to like snuggle up and read Goodnight Moon. And I remember reading Goodnight Moon with him when I was younger. Like that's what they're going to think about, as opposed to all the other things that you might apply yourself to.
And you know, I'll throw something else out too that I've been thinking through. And I think the pandemic gave a great opportunity to kind of actually give the chance to take a breath and step back and be like, wow, how is my time assessment? And I think I realized that in the busyness of work, me and fellow dads don't give the best version of yourself for your professional life. And what I mean by that is, I think sometimes we look to our loved ones to understand or carry the burden of busyness or stress. And that's okay once in a while, because that's your family. But it's really important that you show up the right way, right? Like, you can't always expect your wife to get the crumbs of you at the end of a day or middle of a day, whatever it might be, because, you know, you crushed it at work that day. I think there's a way to simultaneously do both, but just remember that, like, you can't leave the tank on E just, you know, just for your professional development. Like, there has to be a total scope there. And I think, you know, one of the hard places is understanding your true north. I think there's times where you have to realize that, like, your energy and time is the biggest way that you say what's important in your life, right? So when you audit that and you say, hey, where am I spending the most time? Like, you should feel terrible about, like, I scrolled on Instagram for 30 minutes tonight. Like, why in the world, if I'm saying that my joy comes from this, am I doing this? And so, not to say you become this perfect human who perfectly balances work and life. All I'm saying is you have to be constantly aware of that, because it's dynamic. You're never coming home to the same home every day. You're not the same person. Everything's changing. And I think that's something, when you talked about leveling up in the beginning, it took me a long time to realize that I couldn't just fix a moment and be like, okay, this equation's solved, let me go tackle something else. It was like, oh, this is a dynamic, constantly evolving relationship with my wife, with my kids, with everything. It's not a, give me a ton of hard work and expect a result. You can get that for a moment, a week, whatever it might be. It's a constant commitment. And that constant commitment has to be based in something bigger than just, let me fix this, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. It has to be kind of actually like, I'm seeking the best for this family. And I think it took me a while to understand the difference between those two things. Cause I'd come in like, you know, the master problem solver, like, Luce, what do you need from my brilliant, incredible brain? And she, you know, she would just politely look at me, and I never realized this in the moment, you talk about hindsight. She'd be like, I just wanted to talk to you. Like, I didn't want you to solve my problems today. And it's kind of funny. Like, I think the leveling up is like this finally like degradation of your arrogance to understand like these really common life principles. It's like, it's just how long that takes, right? Some of us take the scenic route. Some of us can read in a book and like get it right away. That's not me. Yeah. I have to kind of go through the motions, the repetitions to actually understand it. And I also think that my wife and I have become a lot better about sharing things closer to the moment of us feeling a certain way. And I think we also lack the vernacular to explain. So I've got about 1% bandwidth left. And like, that wasn't always easy to say, not because like one of us was uncomfortable with hearing that, but it's like creating the actual syntax to be able to say, I'm X.
Yeah,
because you can't be perfect every single day, and it's dynamic. And I also think there's something wildly valuable in understanding how to argue and be angry well. Like, it is more important, because those are the moments that you have an opportunities to either grow or like take steps back, right? Because everyone feels. And so it's taking these moments to say, hey, I'm yelling at my 8-year-old right now. Like, not full open, but I'm like, we're yelling at each other right now. Like, what version of this ends with anything beneficial? Because, you know, sometimes your respect feels trampled on. And I'm like, is it my insecurity of not being respected by my 8-year-old daughter that's coming out right now? Like, is there anything beneficial by me going toe to toe with her? Like, is there some doubt as to, like, I'm the father in the scenario? And so it's very hard. You know, I have a hard time putting my ego aside, just like everyone else does. I think a lot of this stuff applies to my professional life too. Like there's these moments where you've got to just go, what does success look like in this? Because the amount of emotional capital and energy you're putting into this, like, is not getting you anywhere near. And now you have to, like, double down and hold your ground or pull a radical enlightenment saying, well, pause. I'm freaking out right now for no reason. Can we all just take it down a notch? Like, that takes an incredible amount of trust, openness, and that whole kind of, like, creating that kind of space is difficult. Yeah.
The idea of what does success look like right now is, you know, you mentioned you every time you come home or every time you go to work or every time you interact, it's like, it's not the same thing that you're returning to. You're not the same person. It's not the same situation. You know, there's so much dynamic in the characteristics and influences and changes that are happening every single day to every single person that you might be able to repeat your best day back to back to back, but it might not be the best day for everybody involved just because of how many different experiences all those other people have. And I think the idea of, you know, what does success look like is so, it's just constantly changing in so many ways. And it's also a framing that I think, and I you know, I have a 3-month-old, so you've been doing this.
Tell me his name.
Levon. His name is Levon, Levon.
Okay.
Yeah. We call him Lev. Levon is basically, it's the Armenian version of Leo. So, you know, it's like,
I realized I would consider us pretty close. And I was like, I don't know Armin's son's name. And I think it's because, like, you know, any, you know, nation across the country relationship, I was like, I'm purely relying on Instagram to tell me that. And I was like, I don't think Armin's posted his son's name. And I'm sure there's a choice and a conversation there, but keep rolling. I was like, I want to know Armin's son's name and I don't know his name. So that bothered me.
No, I think that's a fair question to ask. I've gotten used to just referring to him as my son and like not really talking about his name, because my wife and I were trying to sort of keep him off of social media as much as possible. Not to, like, you know, he should never, because both of us have Instagram accounts, both of us have social media. So obviously we talk about him and you know, have him in there. But we made a conscious decision because we have some people in our networks who have been, like, very, very, very oversharing, in our opinion, with their families. And we think it's a little bit more of, like, a personal, intimate thing. We just like to keep it, you know, separated. So, like, we just try not to post a lot about him other than, you know, like, the back of his head or the side of his body or that sort of thing, just to kind of keep it on the DL. And one end result of that is that a lot of our friends who aren't, like, directly in contact with us on a day-to-day basis don't necessarily know what his name is. So yeah, his name is Levon.
Well, great. Now I know. And hey, it's a good litmus for if people really want to know, they'll reach out and ask you.
Yeah. That's right? A good point. That's a really good point. Yeah. So what I was saying was the idea of success, it constantly changes. It's so fleeting to understand and realize what that success feels like. And it's also a framing that can lead to, I think, disappointment, because it's almost impossible to, quote unquote, successfully be a dad. Like, what?
There's no scoreboard.
There's
right?
no scoreboard.
There's no scoreboard. And to be totally honest, unless you've got a group of guys and your wife can, like, let you know at moments, but, like, there's not a party to celebrate that you've been doing a great job as a father. It has to be that inherent joy that you are trying to seek. And you have to be okay with some of that. And I guess the takeaway is if your audience is primarily dads, go tell your wife that they are crushing being a mom. because no one will ever tire of hearing that they are a great parent, right? Or even friends. Like, I'm actually feeling like I need to send a text to a couple of my dad friends who are like, hey, no baggage here. You're crushing it, man. Like, I just wanted to let you know. I could probably ride that high for months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there is no scoreboard. And that's what makes it really interesting is like you have this high importance factor, but there's not a KPI or a budget or something that you have to hit. So it's kind of this evolving thing. And it's a very selfless act. And I think that's why there's such a struggle defining like what success is, because I think people want this overt way to kind of go, that's it. And the scoreboard's not there.
No, it's never that simple.
And I think part of the reality too is like you undulate between truly seeking joy for your children and kind of not, right? I think, not to say that I'm going to solve divorce rate today, but a lot of people don't stick it out. And I think it's because we lose sight of why did we really have kids and like what is the real purpose here? All of us buoy away from that, right? Like we kind of go out of the waves, come back a little bit, but it's hard to truly selflessly pursue joy for your children. Some people make it look supernatural, right? But there's other times where you're just inherently kind of going back and forth. And I think there's a lot to be said for maybe there's a lot of parents out there who found themselves into this thing called parenting and haven't really unlocked, this is how I feel joy. It feels like work. It feels like I have to put mouths in. It feels like a financial burden. There's a lot of things that can happen. And so if someone is listening that is just going through the ringer, Armin and I are here to tell you, you're doing a great job, bro. Yeah. You are doing a great job dadding. It's not easy. There's no ticker tape parade at the end. But you have to be able to tell yourself that it's so wildly important that what you're doing is for the goodness of your life and your family. And I think it's hard to marinate in that, right? It's really hard to say that that's like, my joy is to truly seek everything possible for Vera and Everett. That's tough. Cause like, there aren't those little metrics along the way. It's like, like height. Oh, your child's at X percent. There's no barometer for that other than just seeing them interact in life. And it's based on your best version of what life is too. So I also have to recognize that there's all these things that I might not adequately prepare them for. So I have to identify like my weaknesses too, to be like, how do I get them this part of being a person? Because maybe I'm actually not better. And I have to actually say that I want them to be a better version than I am. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the real tough part is like, wait, do I want to have a person who's better than me? Like, that's something that like, we all say yes to that, of course, but like, no, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in like, practice, that's like, so difficult. Yeah.
So difficult.
Yeah. It's like the old, when you're hiring, you like hire somebody who can do your job. Eventually you can train them to do your job better than you do it. Like you're hiring your replacement and training your replacement so that you can be replaced. And that's like a difficult thing to like wrap your brain around. Obviously raising kids is not like hiring people. You don't, but the idea.
No, totally.
Yeah. The idea.
I get what you like, mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder about, this idea of like, your kids are a reflection of you in a lot of ways, and you are a reflection of your parents in a lot of ways. And there's some like editing of the experience that you had growing up with your parents that you kind of pass on to your kids, right? You kind of choose, all right, I'm going to definitely highlight this was something that I really loved and something I really appreciated, and I'm going to try and pass this on. And then there's like things that you're like, this wasn't it. I'm going to leave this one on the cutting room floor. They're not going to be exposed to this, And I think that type of a process also happens in like really sharp relief once you first become a parent. Like you don't really think about that. At least I didn't really think about that until I became a dad. And I was like, oh wow. Like, my relationship with my dad suddenly becomes a lot more clear. Like my failings as a son, it becomes significantly more clear when I had a son. And someone told me, you don't know how to be a, a child until you become a parent. You don't know how to be a parent until you become a grandparent. And I was like, that's a little too heavy for me, man. I can't.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause you live in that mindset too much and it's like, oh, well, it's all gloom and doom. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I guess so. Like it's all revisionist history and we all want to go back and blah, 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 blah. But, totally. I think there's so much muscle memory and you can't help but do something based on your summary of experiences, right? When you go into any experience, you are bringing this collective. And anytime you need to kind of change the perspective or change the action, you have to have something overt and intentional to like kind of shake the principle for a second. And so I think, so my wife and I have been married 10 years this past May.
Congratulations.
I can assure you 10 years in that we are still wildly figuring things out on how to communicate, how to live life. Cause like I said, life is dynamic and changing. And I feel like it's taken up until now for us to actually get better at talking about how we feel and the life we want. We just moved into a new home and we kind of used it as a way to say, hey, what's some of the intention we want to put into this house? So that we can both be on the same page for like, what type of home are we creating? Because living in our house during the pandemic, we realized one, like we wanted a slightly different house. There was a few things that we didn't like and liked, but our home became really important. We were all home, you know, arguably like everyone else, we went on walks and went to the grocery store, but you know, there was a time where we were together. And so we're like, how can we better drive some small things? And so like a really simple thing was, in our new living floor, we've got kind of a living room, dining room, kitchen that are all connected. And we were like, we do not want to put a TV this time around in the living room. So we've got it up in the loft, like, and you got to go up there to do it. And it's kind of separated. And we've already noticed a difference. Our kids aren't asking to watch movies. We're actually having meals as a family. We are playing together. Our kids are doing arts and crafts instead of like, you know, all these things and like these small moments of intention that are aligned between you and your partner, I think are really important because you're both kind of in it, if that makes sense. And you're both excited about what the net result could be. And it, you know, if you're both on the same page, you can kind of manifest that in as well. And so we put a piece of art up over our fireplace instead of a TV, and it was intentional. And we're starting to find these other little moments of saying like, hey, this house is a transition for us. What can we further do to manifest the life that we say we want to have? And so there's more focus on, you know, health. I'm building out a cool gym, just side note, sweet gym, the best gym I'll have ever had at my house.
Yeah.
Other than like half of a 2-car garage, it's actually going to be built out in my new basement. And so like stuff like that, we are really investing into what we consider to be the best return on our future selves. I'm really jockeying for a sauna right now. For all those listening, we're currently in a sauna hot tub debate. I'm losing ground rapidly with all of our friend groups. Every poll I put up, I'm just getting buried. So I might have to just concede, but I really want a sauna as well. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. When we moved from Austin out here to LA, you know, it was a little bit more hectic. We didn't really get the opportunity to do like a state of the union and figure out where we're at, because we were like up until the moment our the truck pulled out. Like my brother and I drove the truck. My wife and her mom drove the dogs in our car. So it's like we were up until the moment the truck like reversed out of the driveway of our house in Austin, we were still packing things. Like it was chaos. It was just the worst possible way of doing that. So we never really got an opportunity to do like the State of the Union thing. And I think that is something that is valuable, because it gives you, even if you just take a minute to like reflect, think through it, and just communicate with your partner, hey, are our priorities still aligned in this specific case? Are we moving in the right direction in this specific case? Because sometimes you're naturally, because you get to know your partner so well over time, and you guys kind of grow up together. You know, at a certain point, you reach a tipping point in which you've spent more time together than you had apart, and your character and your values really start reflecting that time spent. You kind of subconsciously end up going in the right direction. As long as you picked a partner that you guys, you're kind of aligned with, you kind of subconsciously start going in the right direction. I think it's important to have those overt conversations as well and say, hey, you know what? Do we really want to invest our time in X, Y, and Z? Do we really want to spend our budgeting in our money, like in these things? Do we want to focus on, you know, this instead of that, right? Do we want to homeschool instead of this, instead of public school, private school, the whole schooling thing, teaching, you know, what values do I want to pass on to my kids? And a lot of that also comes down to, like, you know, this has come into sharp relief for me as well. Again, 3-month-old, he's not really consciously picking up a ton about my behavior and habits, but he definitely learns a lot from watching, because he's not really, you know, it's not like I could tell him, son, this is how you do this. Like, he looks at me and sees me do things, and that's never going to change. He's always going to see me.
Yeah. There's nothing quite so uninvited to your children as a lecture from dad on how to live life rather than just living life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, the fact that you have to live the example, it's very much like, you know, I think kids, and looking back at, like, my own experience growing up, I definitely, you know, understood this under the subconscious, is I learned from my dad with the lessons that he taught me by telling me, hey, this is why I did this, or this is why you should think about this, or how you should move along here. But a lot of it also came from seeing how he behaved, how he interacted with my mom, how he interacted with my brothers, how he carried himself with his friends, with his business. So much of that is, like, almost like you just marinate in that without knowing that that's happening in the moment. And the fact that now I'm responsible for creating that environment and that space and that modeling for my own son, you know, that's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot of power, in a way. I think power is a kind of it's a rough word for describing what it is, but it really is a lot of power. I can shape my son's future in a lot of ways just by the way that I behave. So do I want him to see me on my phone all the time? Do I want him to see me distracted with my wife? Do I want him to see me active and out there and participating in life and doing things? And, you know, there's a lot of these, like, questions that almost are, like, painful to answer, because it's you know, as a person, I've lived my life in a lot of different ways, and I can understand that some of those habits and some of those behaviors aren't necessarily things that I want to pass along. And it's that responsibility to like confront that can be painful.
Well, and to be honest, it requires a lot of personal growth from you to identify, like, the answer to those questions, because you can kind of give yourself the way out a lot of times when it comes to introspection for yourself. It's really easy to parent these children because you have the authority to, and, like, change these little tweaks. But the reality is, unless you can identify that same need or change in yourself, it's very, very hard to perpetuate that down. So I don't know if there's some, like, actual number here, but, like, where you have insecurity, it's, and you're talking about it actively with your kids instead of showing them, it's probably, like, going to take 5 times as long for that point to resonate if you just do it instead, right? Like, me talking about all this stuff, me doing this. And so I'll have to come back and listen to the best version of myself on this episode too, because, you know, I'm a super dad right now. Everything that we're talking about is great, and, like, all this dialogue. I will say a resource that I constantly use, I love Stoic Principles, Stoic Thinkers, Meditations is a great book. I love a lot of what Ryan Holiday puts out. Daily Dad is an incredible email if this group finds interest there. I subscribe to that, and it's a great little nugget on dads through history, dads through time, nuggets for dads, because sometimes you just need to know, here's how someone else did it. And, like, there's a little bit of comfort in that. Right? Because some of you might be really good at communicating with your local communities about being a dad, but I like having some external resources. And one of the best quotes I constantly think of from meditation is, the nearer a man comes to a calm mind, the closer he is to strength. And so, it, you know, not surrendering to anger. It's so easy. It's so cheap. It's such a short-sighted thing. I think it's really important to remember that you're playing the long game being a dad. You don't need to urgently fix everything today. You need to play the long game and give yourself a little bit of leeway on playing that long game. But if you are focused on just those little short exchanges, you're never going to kind of get, I think, to that long game. If you're just trying to course correct. It's not how you do it. I think you got to have that long vision in mind so that you can actually index off something bigger than yourself. And that's got a little bit more depth and breadth so that that's where you can go instead of the complexity of pretending that you can move the world every day.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing quite like losing your cool, and in the exact moment you've lost your cool, realizing that not only was that ineffective, but it's just the worst possible way to react to something. Like last night, this is a perfect example. Lev had a real night last night. He's hitting 3 months today's. So he's hitting 3 months tomorrow. He's been 3 months old tomorrow. And he's going through this like growth spurt where he really is, you know, he's starting to like almost roll over. He's getting really active. When he's awake, he's awake. And when he's sleeping, he's sleeping. Like he's very, very much in the extremes right now. He's like discovering his voice. He's discovering his hands. It's a really, really fascinating time for him. And in the middle of the night, he woke up and I woke him up. I grabbed him and I was like, all right, I'm going to try and get him to fall asleep. And he wasn't falling asleep. And I was getting frustrated. I was like, buddy, like it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're like way too awake right now. You need to be asleep. This just is not working. And so I like put him in his pram and I walked him around the house. That didn't work. Like picked him up and I gave him his little pacifier. And he like immediately spit it out and like it fell on the ground. And I was like, fuck, like in the middle, it's like 3:30 in the morning. I was like, fuck. Like I just completely like went to like 100% of like just frustration for a second with him. And I look down and he has this giant smile on his face, like, ha 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 ha. And it was this moment of like, oh, that was so unnecessary. Like that was such an overreaction to this thing. And you know, there's this like pain of like, oh, did I just like permanently damage my child by like losing my shit on him for a second? And then there's the realization of like, no, it's gonna be okay. Like he's fine, you're fine. Just try to be a little bit more like water, be a little bit more zen, be a little bit more calm when things like this happen, because it's going to happen a million times and it's going to happen way more like way worse consequences and stakes than his pacifier falling on the ground. So it's just there's the idea of staying calm in order to be like the strongest and best version of yourself is definitely something that I'm very actively working on.
Well, there's so much emotion in this thing that we're doing as dads that there are going to be those flips. And I've also, not to give myself an out, but I've also taken some slight comfort in like, daddy gets upset too. Now, when you get upset in front of kids who understand what's going on, not a 3-month-old who thinks it's hilarious, by the way, you can't get upset and then leave. You can't get upset and go to another room and then like go get comfort on yourself. I think you have to get upset in like an honest way and be like, here's why I'm super pissed. And that is also very hard because if you've already hit 100, you've already gone kind of a full psycho, right? Like walking that back is very difficult, but I also think there's power in showing your kids that like, cause I don't know about you, but when my dad used to get upset, like it was kind of like dad's upset and he's over there. We stay over here. We stay super quiet.
Yeah.
And then when dad comes out, you're like, what's the temperature check right now? Right. And so I think what I've had to realize in those moments is like, I don't want my kids to ever be scared. Right. I want them to know that I can get upset, but then also getting upset is okay. Because like, you can't zen your life out to like remove the emotional roller coaster that is going to be happiness and anger, right? Like all of that has to exist for us to kind of experience everything that we enjoy. Because if you put everyone on antidepressants, you don't have much going on, right? But you want a little bit of that, but you also, I think you have to experience that in a way that's okay, especially with your partner. Like you have to be able to yell or get angry in a way that's actually productive, not just like, so the night's over.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can't go draconian. And I'd love to say that I always have the opportunity to be like, I thought about it. I was being an asshole. I don't know my batting average is there, but it's definitely not enough to get to the World Series or be a hitter of any type of recognition. So, it's always a process.
Yeah, I think that there's a strength that comes from vulnerability. I think that's something that's generationally very different between us and, our parents and our parents' parents. You know, there's this idea of openness and intimacy and vulnerability between, parent and child, between partners, that just, I really don't think existed 50 years ago or 100 years ago.
Oh, and the same thing we just talked about with seeking the best for our children. Like when we talk about these kind of things, it shouldn't be a, look how my parents messed up. It's, hey, take comfort in the fact that things are actually evolving, I think, in a directionally positive way, right? There's not these very traditional kind of setups where X person does this, this person does this, and there's really no blurring of the responsibility lines. It's become increasingly different. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a testament to like things actually moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, Josh, I really appreciate your time, man. This has been super cool. I love talking to my friends about their fatherhood, their experience being a father, because it lets me get to know them like in a way more intimate and interesting way than ever before. And you did not disappoint. It's been really, really fun getting to kind of chat through this with you.
Thanks, man. I like what you're doing. Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed listening to a few episodes, so I'll keep the train going and hopefully Fathermore takes over the father space.
Yeah, it takes over the whole father world. That's the,
I have a quick question for you is to like, with this podcast, what's, of course the dialogue is really helping you become a better dad, but is there kind of a long game here? And hey, I'm hoping I reach X number of dads. Or are you truly just having conversations and seeing where it goes?
So my goal has been to kind of, and I have like these cabinets here in my studio that I found out that I could use as a whiteboard. So like I use whiteboard markers on it. So my goal has been to kind of make these conversations a part of my regular life. And from that habit, grow the network that the conversations take place in. So I'm trying to move out of the CrossFit space is like an exclusive source of like all my content and just start talking to dads in as many environments as possible. Because for me, selfishly, that's how I'm going to get the most out of these conversations. And I know that if that's something that I'm going to benefit from, I think a lot of other people would benefit from it as well. And I think the end goal is to just create sort of like a body of work that functions as like a journal of my existence as a dad over time. Like that's, I started this when my son was very young. So I want to be able to have this sort of like audio journey of what I'm experiencing in a way. And at the same time, it kind of functions as kind of the same thing, like a time capsule for the dads that I talk to about how they're doing at that moment and what they're thinking about. They could potentially share it with their partners or their kids at some point if it's interesting or that comes up. And I think every conversation is by definition evergreen for everybody, because if you're a dad, at some point you're going to run into at least one of the things that we talk about in every episode, in every interview with every person. And there's value in that. So I'm not really, I don't really have a long game of where I want this thing to go, other than I know that at the core of it, there's something really valuable to myself and to the community. And I think that if I can like refine that and provide it and get it out to people, that it will, that that effort will be rewarded down the line in some way.
I don't think you will ever regret time invested trying to be a better dad. I think there's a lot of other things you could regret with the same amount of time input, but I think directionally that this is a really good thing. So yeah, it's a good place to be. I appreciate it. And man, that hour went by in 2 seconds. And I think the takeaway there is you can talk about being a father for a long time because there is so much complexity, nuance, and perhaps not enough dialogue around it. And maybe I'm not actively seeking out enough resources or places to have that conversation, but I really enjoyed today as well. So yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it, man.